Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim, Daf Ches. I'm dictating this on Yud Nisan, which is my father's yard site. Reb Yosef Nisan ben Yecheskel, based on Shabbat and Aliyah. All the Shabbos we learn for Heaven Aliyah. So we begin the very, very top words of Ches Omud Aleph, Tamon Taninon. We learned over there in a Mishnah. This is in Bechoros. It's also in Rosh Hashanah. Reb Meir tells us, Be'echod be'elul Rosh Hashanah l'maisa behema. Again, discussing from yesterday when we had the three periods of time when they did the Truma Salishka, so we associated that also that there are three periods of time during the year when they would take off Maisa Behema. Again, reminder that Maisa Behema is an obligation when you have 10 newborns in the same year that are born into your flock. So within the same year, you have to put them all together. You go through the corral one at a time, and the 10th one is Maisa Behema, has the status of a korban, which the owner of that korban brings to Yerushalayim and eats it. It's not given to a Kohen or to Levi. He keeps it himself. He eats it himself, but he brings it up to Yerushalayim as a korban. Now, the year is broken up into three periods of time in order, as we said yesterday, for various reasons. One of them is which that you shouldn't forget to go and bring it and be over Baal Ti'achar. That was how we left off the shiur yesterday. Some had said that was a question. Some had said that was a statement. So we continue with three opinions as to when is the time for Maiser Behema for the entire year, not the three grunos. So Rav Meir Omer, Be'echod Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah L'Maiser Behema. Rav Meir's opinion is that the year for the animals starts from Echad B'Elul. So Echad B'Elul until Chav Tes of Av, that is 1 year. Any animals born in that year are lumped together in Maisa Behema. Then you divide that up into three sections, but if you don't have enough in one section, so then you can use the entire year to take off your Maisa Behema. So that's Rav Meir's opinion. Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, they say it's B'Echad B'Tishrei. They say that the new year for the animals starts from the first day of the month of Tishrei. Then we have a compromise opinion, Benazi Omer, Ho'elulim, Misasrim ifnei atzmam. It says Elul, all the animals born in the month of Elul. We're not sure if Reb Meir is right. We're not sure if, in fact, Reb Elazar or Reb Shimon are right. So therefore, we don't know whether to lump the animals born in Elul with the preceding year or with the following year. And therefore, he says you do them by themselves, and the Mimon Shach, you're going to be okay. Mar says Amar Reb Chuna, time of the Reb Meir. The reasoning for Reb Meir, who says that the year starts from Echod B'Elul for the animals, is based upon the idea that Adkan Hei Mismatzos Leled Min HaYishonos. He says, based upon the Tikkun Charitin, that Elul is Nimshach. We go up until the month of Elul because that's when the animals are pregnant, as the Tikkun Charitin tells us. Sheyoldos Ha'achronos, the last ones that will give birth are those that are misabros kodem nisan. They're animals that have a 5-month gestation. The smaller animals, such as goats and sheep, have a 5-month gestation. So they'll become pregnant before nisan, and therefore the last ones of them that got pregnant will all give birth before Rosh Chodesh Elul. Some of those that are like the cows that have a 9-month gestational period, they get pregnant earlier, and they also will all give birth before the month of Elul starts. And that's Rav Meir's reasoning. It says, Ad kan he mismatzos leili b'nei yishanos. The last ones to give birth will all give birth before the month of Elul because they got pregnant enough time in advance, 5 months beforehand or 9 months beforehand, depending on the type of animal. Mikan ve'elech, after the month of Elul starts, hey maschilos leled min achadashos. So those animals became pregnant later on, and therefore they're considered having can be counted for the next year, and therefore their pregnancy is how you view it, and therefore that pregnancy determines when they'll give birth, and that's why Elul is the cutoff. That's the opinion of Meir. Rav Yosef Barabi Bun b'shem Rav Chuna. The first statement was made by Rav Chuna himself. The second one is Rav Yosef Barabi Bun, who says over the name of Rav Chuna, and he says the reason for time of the Rav Elazar of Rabbi Shimon is because they hold Lav Shu Korim Hatzon. This pasuk that we have from Tehillim tells us that the sheep, the tzon, the flock, they became pregnant. That's Lav Shu Korim Hatzon. This is Elu Habakiros. Those are the ones that get pregnant earlier, and they're going to go and give birth a little bit earlier. So they got pregnant before Nisan, and they give birth still in Av, before Elul. But Amakim, and those that got pregnant later on, Yatzvu Bar, so they are going to get pregnant after Nisan, but they're going to give birth in the month of Elul before Tishrei. And therefore, the Pasuk in Tehillim tells us, Yisroa'u af Yoshiru, that they are friends with each other, they get together still, and they are counted together. Yashiru is a play on the Lashon over here, of Lashon of Meiser. Come on, Yashiru, Shinasu Reim, Lichnos Ladir, Yachad Lis'aser. So that's what this Pasuk in Tehillim means, that the ones that are pregnant before Nisan, with the ones that are pregnant after Nisan, they all are Meiser together, and therefore, this is what Rav Yusuf but Rav Bun says. The name of Rav Chuna is the rationale for Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon to say that the new year starts in Tishrei, and therefore those that are given birth to an Elul count with the preceding year. Now, those are the two opinions that we have that have definitive answers. Along comes Ben Azay. Ben Azay says, hold, the Elul Amrim Kach. Since you have Rav Meir says this, Elul Amrim Kach, and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon say that, and I don't know which one is correct. You Elulim Mis'asu Bifnei Atzmon. In order not to have a problem over here that you're bringing Chulin Le'Azara, because let's say you had a couple of animals born before the month of Elul, and a couple of animals born after Elul, so if you're supposed to combine them together, great, but if you're not, so then the 10th animal that goes through isn't really the 10th animal for Maisa Behema, and you've made this animal into Chulin, and thinking that it's Maisa Behema, and you bring Chulin the Azara. So therefore he says, let all the animals, hopefully you'll have 10 at least in the month of Elul, and you can be misasa them together, mamshach. Either they're all from last year, or they're all from next year, but they're all in the same year. And therefore, he says that this is what you should do. Okay, tzad. So now the girsa that we have in the Gemara is as follows. I'll just read that girsa and then explain a slightly different girsa. Okay, tzad. No dulo beheba of, beheba elu, beheba tishrei. Let's say you have a bunch of animals that are born on the fifth day of the month of Av. Others say that you have five that are born in Av. So those are the two different curses. Over here, it's the same idea. It's just a question of how you read the words. So you have a bunch of animals born in the month of Av, a bunch of animals that are born in the month of Elul, and a bunch of animals that are born in the month of Tishrei. So Heba Av, Heba Elul, Heba Tishrei. Or you have that five animals are born, not on the fifth of Av, but you have five animals born in the month of Av, five animals born in the month of Elul, five animals born in the month of Tishrei. So Ein Mitztarfin, according to Ben Azay, you can't be Mitztarf any of them together, because maybe Elul goes really with the ones that were from Av, or maybe Elul goes with the ones from Tishrei. We don't know. So you're stuck. You don't have enough to have 10 in the month of Elul, so then you can't be Mitztarif them at all. Certainly, the ones that are born in Av and the ones that are born in Tishrei certainly aren't Mitztarif. But on the other end, no lo behebe Tishrei, if you had animals born on the 5th of Tishrei, or you have 5 animals born in Tishrei, the Heba Av, and then you had 5 animals born 11 months later in the month of Av, so now you have 5 animals in Tishrei, 5 animals in Av, or five animals, or a bunch of animals born on the 5th of Tishrei, a bunch of animals born on the 5th of Av. It makes more sense to say the years that we don't have, that you just have 10 animals altogether, 5 from Tishrei, 5 from Av, Harel Mitztarfin. They're all born in the same fiscal year, the same born in the same halachic year of Maisa Behema, and they in fact can be Mitztarfin. So therefore, this is what Ben Azay's opinion is. More questions, as it says, Ben Azay Machriya al Divrei Talmidov Osa, is Ben Azay incapable of deciding between his Talmidim, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, and Rav Meir, are considered Talmidim of Ben Azay, because Ben Azay was the Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, and these are star pupils of Rabbi Akiva, and Ben Azay says, we have the famous Gemara, that all these other Rabbanim are compared to me to be like a klipa shel shum, like a peel of garlic, compared to only Rabbi Akiva, this korcho, we said previously, that's an allusion to Rabbi Akiva. So clearly, Ben Azay was greater than these other Rabbanim, and therefore, why wasn't he able to distinguish between the words of these Talmidim? It doesn't make any sense that he can't distinguish between the words of Talmidim. He should be able to say, well, this one's reasoning is this, this one's reasoning is this, I choose this one. So why did he have this compromised opinion? So Gemara says, no, because it really wasn't the choice between Rav Meir versus Rav Elazar or Shimon, who would be, relatively speaking, Talmidim of Ben Azay, but it was the Rabbeim of Ben Azay. And who was that? Rav Yirmiyah, the Rabbi Maisha, B'shem Rabbi Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak, says that no, shekein nechlik ula avos olam. This isn't a machlokas just between Rav Meir versus Rav Shimon and Rav Elazar, but this is in fact the avos olam, the great tanoim. Who are these? My nino avos olam. Who are these great tanoim that we're referring to over here? So Tona Rabbi Yona Kumi Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yona said in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah, this is a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmol and Rabbi Akiva. Now they were certainly greater than Ben Azay. Rabbi Akiva was the father-in-law of Ben Azay. He was the Rabbi of Ben Azay. Albeit we'll see that Ben Azay is like a Talmud Chaver to him, so he's allowed to argue with Rabbi Akiva, but therefore, Ben Azay said, I can't distinguish over here between these pillars of the world, these fathers of the world, the Avos HaOlam, and therefore, that's why Ben Azay took this compromised position. This implies, also, Maris Gemara says, Then as a chover, the Talmud, Hoyad Rabbi Akiva. He was not as great as Rabbi Akiva, but he was on the level that he could at least argue with Rabbi Akiva. How do we know this? Because in Tima Rabbe, because if you say that he was a pure Talmud of Rabbi Akiva and not on the same Madrega as Rabbi Akiva, that he could be a Talmud chover of him, so then is there such a person? Is Bar Nash, is there such a person that Omar LeRabbi, that would say to his Rabbi, Hoel, Ve'elu Amrukach, Ve'elu Amrukach. My Rebbe says this, and that Rebbe says that. That person says this, that person says that. He didn't say it in the proper way. He didn't say it, if he was a Talmud of Rebbe Akiva, he wouldn't have said that there's those that say Elu that say this, and Elu that say that. He would have said, the Rebbe says this, and the Rebbe says that. So it was clearly that he was on a Madrega, that he could say this idea of Elu Amrukach, Elu Amrukach. That's the language that we're using here, clearly shows that he was a Talmud Chaver, Rebbe Akiva, and not just a Talmud. Rabbi Ovin b'shem Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yitzchok has a similar idea, and he says Shma Loch Min Hadah. We can see this idea from a famous Mishnah in Bava Basra, which deals with various halachas of Yerusha, which Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a machlokus on. So there are two that they have a machlokus on, and the third one that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree to the din. And Rabbi Akiva says no, they even argue in that situation. So Amalo Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, Alachalukin on with Starim. It's bad enough to have a machlokis on the first two cases. Elo, Shabos, Lachlok, Olenu, Esashavim. Now you're coming along, and even in the one situation where we thought that they agreed, you're saying that that's a machlokis as well? Now, from this language over here, the way the Tikkun Chatitin and the Korban Eidah say, it's in the Lashon that he uses over here, Shabos, instead of saying Shabah. Others say from the fact that he didn't use the Lashon of the fact that the Rebbe said, he just said that you said, he didn't use it in the right tone of respect. So you see, therefore, it's also merits that Ben Azai was a Chaver and a Talmud, Havali Rabbi Akiva. He was a Talmud Chaver. He was on a high Madrega, and therefore he didn't have to use the honorific that normally one would speak with the way they're talking about the Rebbe, but he could refer to him more as a Talmud Chaver, as a colleague. Because in Tim Rabbi, if you're saying he was just a pure Talmud and Rabbi Akiva was purely his Rebbe, so then is there such a person, is Bar Nash, Amar Rabbi, that would say to his Rebbe, Elo Shabasa, Lachlo Kolenu Es HaShavim, he used the Lashon over here, he would have said Shabasa, he would have said Shabas. So therefore, the language over here is incorrect. He wouldn't have used the language Shabasa Lachlok. He would have said Shabbat in a different way of saying that the Rebbe says as opposed to you said. Or others say that he would have used the Lashon, the Rebbe said. He wouldn't have said that you said. Okay, in any event, we see from here that Ben Azai is a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva. Gemara continues, says, Taman Tamina, we learned in another Mishnah, also from Bechoros, where it says, Kol hanolodim me'echod b'tishrei at esrim b'tishrei el, in the financial year of the animals, the year of the animals, it starts from the first day of the month of Tishrei until the 29th day of the month of Elul. All the animals born during that period of time, harel mitzdarfen, they're all put together. If you have only 10 from that entire time, they all can be put together, and the 10th one that goes through is Maisa Behema. But, chamisha lifnei Rosh Hashanah, chamisha l'achar Rosh Hashanah, here clearly you have the Girsa that you have 5 before Rosh Hashanah and 5 after Rosh Hashanah, not on the 5th of Elul, the 5th of Tishrei. As it says here clearly, Hamisha Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, Vehei La'achar Rosh Hashanah, so Ein Mitzdarfen. But if you have Hei Lifnei Hagorin, Vehei La'achar Hagorin, if you have, however, 5 that were born before the Gorin again are these 3 times during the year, it's still the same fiscal year, but they did this for various reasons, like we learned in yesterday's year. So if you have 5 born before the Gorin, 5 born after the Gorin, these are Elu Mitzdarfen. While they ideally would like to do 10 before the Goren and then have 10 after the Goren. If you don't, they are mitzdarf because it's the same fiscal year, the same calendaric year for the animals, and therefore they are definitely mitzdarf. Amar Ryosa says, based upon this Mishnah, Hadal Meres, this Mishnah tells us, as Maisa Behemer, lo osu osu lo kichenet velo kishlish. Says, this year, which goes from the first day of Tishrei through the 29th day of Elul, so it's not based like with produce, it's different than with produce. There's Maisa Behema, the animals that are born are different than the way we view Maisa of fruits. So we don't make it like Kechenet, which is when the fruits are starting to blossom, which is when we say that the fruits are considered, which year the fruits are in. Are they first year fruits for Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni, second year fruits, Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, or third year fruits for Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani. So depending on what year they are, they'll have different obligations to take off Trumas and Maisers. So by the fruits, we go by the chenet, by the blossoming of the fruit, right? We're in the month of Nisan right now, we have an opportunity to make the famous bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't leave anything lacking in the world. When we see the fruits blossoming, a fruit tree blossoming, so we will make a special bracha. So by fruits, you go by the chenet, by the blossoming, below kishlish, or by grains, we go by when it's a third mature, i.e. when it's edible. So as opposed to the produce of the ground, the fruits or the vegetables, where we go by certain criteria, by the Maisa Behema, we don't. We go by the calendar year. Because in Timar, that in Timar means im Tomar, if you were to say that we go by the chenet, by the blossoming over here, so then, listne, it should have said, kol hamu'ubarim me'echa b'tishrei at esu b'tishrei. It wouldn't have said that those that are born, it would have said those that are pregnant. So when they're pregnant, that would be the equivalent of the chenet, of the blossoming. And if you were to tell me that we go like the produce when it's edible, after it's grown one-third, in Timar b'shlish, so then it would have said, listne, kol hanolodim, ad esrim ushnayim elul. Should have said if you're born on the first of Tishrei until the 22nd day of the month of Elul, because it takes 8 days for an animal to be brought as a korban. You're not allowed to bring an animal the first 8 days of life as a korban. You have to wait till it's 8 days old. So therefore, the last day that it could be born in the year would have been the 22nd day of Elul, in order that it should be able to be considered edible, which is shlish. So therefore, the fact that we say it's from the first of Elul, for the first of Tishrei until the 29th of Elul, it means that we don't go after either the Chanata or the bringing of a third, meaning that it's edible. So that what that Rav Yusuf said. So the Gemara says, Rav Shammai, b'shem, now the Girsa that we have is Rabbi Bibi, b'Rabbi Chiya, but on the side it says it should be Rabbi Bun, in the name of Rabbi Chiya. And we now go with the Girsa of the Gra, Kishlish, also osa Rabbi Shimon, that in fact, this does go in accord with the idea of the produce reaching a third of its maturity, i.e. becoming edible. That is, in fact, this sheet over here, and this goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, what is Rabbi Shimon? Kedai to the Rabbi Shimon, what is that opinion? Dama Rabbi Shimon, because we have a machlokes in Rabbi Shimon, the Chachamim, whether a animal that is mechusus man, the animal is not yet 8 days old, is counted or not. So Rabbi Shimon holds, mechusus man nichnas l'dir l'saser, that when you're bringing the animal through the corral, so even though you can't bring it until it's 8 days old as a korban, you can count it and bring it into the corral to count it as 1, 2, 3, until you get to 10, so then it counts even though it can't yet be brought as a korban. So therefore, even if it's born from the 22nd until the 30th of the month of Elul, till the 29th day of the month of Elul, so it's still considered in that year, even though it can't be brought as a korban. So this goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So it could still be that we're dealing with, it's paralleled by the animals to the grains, to the produce that reaches a shlish of its growth. However, this is disagreed upon with Kom Rabbi Mona in Rabbi Shammai. Rabbi Mona said in front of Rabbi Shammai that he disagrees with this. He said, Omale, At Amris. Now the Girsa that we have is Chadamilsa, but it really should be Hadamilsa. Do you really think that this is true? Do you really think that Ben Azai is saying like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? Because Taman Tamina, we learned in the Mishnah, Ben Azai Omer Ha'alulim Misasul Yatsum. We just learned that he holds that the month of Elul, we don't move it with the animals beforehand, we don't move it with the animals afterwards, they're misasa by themselves. Now, if that's true, so then he's saying also that you'll go up all the way until the 29th day of the month of Elul. He should have said, Lo afilu no lad ad esim v'tisha be'elul, so it means that they're born on the 29th, so it means he must be going like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So, is it really true? Isla Neymar ben Azai, Rabbi Shimon v'lo k'rabbanim, that Rabbi Azai ben Azai is locking himself in to be like the Das Yochid of Rabbi Shimon and not like the Chachamim? So therefore, it doesn't make sense. However, we therefore have to explain it differently. So how do we explain it? K'mo de'atom al de'rabbanim. So we answer that even though we say you go up to the 29th of Elul, it still could go like this opinion of a shlish. Why is that? Because k'mo de'atoma al de'rabbanon, just as you're going to say in regards to the sheet of the Rabbanon that hold that the animals are born after the 22nd day of the month are still counted. The Chacham Shita is that it's Elul. So the opinion that those that are born after the 22nd day of the month are going to be included in next year, so too, Kenat to Amal al Ben Azai. You say the same thing for Ben Azai. Minichin Lagor Naba, Bemisasin in Bnei Elulim. So those animals that are born after the 22nd day of Elul, we also leave them to the next group and they're lumped together. So both the Chacham and Ben Azai, we say the same Shita for them. And therefore, there is no problem. You don't have to force it to hold like Rabbi Shimon. Then the Gemara concludes and he says, Omer Rabbi Chiya, we have in parentheses Rav Chuna, but this is Rabbi Chiya. So Meres, this comes to teach us Yomim Shabachor Mechusu Zman Bahen. If you have a Bechor that is within its first date, the 8 days of life, so it can't yet be brought as a korban as a Bechor, also Olololotoshnoso. We count it those first 8 days, even though it can't be brought as a korban, as that's its first year of life. You're supposed to try to bring the Bechor in the first year of life, so those 8 days count as the first year of its life. And this is based upon the following pasuk. Amar Rabbi Mona, Amar Rabbi Yuna Abba, he says, Shema lo min hado, we can learn this from here. Kol ha-bechor she-yivoleid v'gomer, the pasuk says, any bechor that we've born, whether it's from your bokor or your tzon, so hazocher taktish, so if it's a male animal, so then it becomes holy. Now, haketza, when does it become holy? Mishas leidaso at mona lo shana, as soon as it's born. Asher yivale. So therefore, even though it's not yet 8 days old, it is considered already as if it's in its first year of life. Now we go to halacha base. We go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us now about the actual collection boxes for the Trumas HaLishka, where they would bring the Matzis HaShekel funds. Bisholosh Kupos, they put them into three boxes, each box containing Sholosh Sin. Each box has within it three saw. So you have three kupos with three saw in each kupa. So that's each time it's nine saw, three times three. And we do this three times during the year. That's going to be three times nine. It's going to be 27 saw in total that is in the Trumas HaLishka. So Tormenes HaLishka. So you do this three times during the year. They take out the funds from these containers. And as we said, Bepros HaPesach, Bepros HaTzeres, and Bepros HaChag. And they would write on each of these containers, Kosov Aleim Aleph Beis Gimel, or alternative of Rishmol Omer Yevonis Kosov Aleim, because when Alexander the Great took over, so there were many things that they did to give him honor, because he didn't attack Yerushalayim. He gave tremendous honor to the Kohen Gadol, to Shimon HaTzadik, and therefore, so we incorporated the name, for example, Alexander became a Jewish name, Sender. It's Alexander, the Alexander Hasidim. So this is all based upon Alexander the Great. So we also incorporated using the Greek language, Yafta Elokim Liefes. So we say Alpha, Beta, Gamma. So instead of writing on it Aleph, Beis, Gimel, they wrote on it the Greek letters Alpha, Beta, Gamma. And that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. And they would use this, as the Mepharshim here explained, they would take out first most from the Aleph box, and then before they finished off the Aleph box, they would take from the Beis box, and then before they finished off the Beis box, they would take from the Gimel box, and then they would finish off the Gimel box, then go back to take the remainder from the Beis box, and then they would go back to take the remainder from the Aleph box. And that's how they do the Trumas HaLishka. If they needed more, then they would take additional funds, or they would have enough there until the next time they did the Trumas HaLishka. Then the Mishnah tells us, Ein HaTorim Nichnas Lo BePargod Chofos, the person going in to actually go and take the funds out shouldn't go in there with a garment that has like a hem on it. The Pargod Chofos means that the bottom is flipped over, and it could be something that you could put coins into. You could hide coins in there, and therefore we don't want him to go in there with anything that people could have a suspicion of him, as we'll see in a moment in the Mishnah. Likewise, we don't have him go in there with a little bit minol. He doesn't go in there wearing shoes, because you could slip some coins in there with a little bit sandal, nor with sandals, because again, you could slip some coins in there and people would accuse you of taking money from the Trumas HaLishka. Likewise, you don't wear your tefillin in there, a little bit tefillin, because people would again be suspicious that maybe you opened up the tefillin and put some coins inside the box of the tefillin. Likewise, not with an amulet. An amulet would be like a sealed type of a leather around the parchment and some sort of a container that you could theoretically put something inside of. And all of these things is, so in case this person became poor afterwards, totally unrelated to his going in and doing the Trumas HaLishka, or if he became rich, totally unrelated to doing the Trumas HaLishka, people wouldn't make up accusations about him. Because Shemo Yoni, let's say Nebuch, the guy became poor, the Yomru, and they would say, it must be that he stole, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting back at him. Nevon HaLishka HaOni, because he stole from the Lishka, so God made him poor. Or vice versa. Oh, Shemo Yashiru, or maybe this guy independently became wealthy, and therefore the people say, Yomru, this guy got rich from the stealing from the Hektish. So Mimanashot, this guy's going to be looked at no matter what happens to him, as if there's suspicions, aspersions cast upon his character. Now, if in fact he didn't do this stealing, so why would we care what people say? Normally we say, we don't worry about what people say. So the Mishnah tells us a very important principle. No. Sha'adam tzorech lo tzeisidei abrios. A person has to be well thought of by people. He shouldn't have situations where he gives people a reason to maybe be suspicious about him, even though he knows he didn't do anything wrong. Just like he has to be honest in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, So he can't say, well, God knows that I didn't steal. But he has to try to make it that people won't think that he steals as well, based upon the pasuk, Shenemar, Visim Nikiim, Me Hashem, Umi Yisrael. It's not enough to just be clean in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God knows that you're innocent. But you should try to also make it that people shouldn't suspect you. We have another pasuk that goes even further. Vomer, Umotzochein, V'secho Tobinei, Elokim, V'yodam, that you have to go out of your way, so to say, to make sure that people don't suspect you of doing something incorrect. Even though you know you didn't do it. And even though God knows you didn't do it, you still have to try to make sure that people don't think that you're doing something incorrect. Now, we learned in Mishnah and Shabbos, Tamon, Tininon, Mifanin, Afilu Abba, V'chomish Kupos. We have a rule that on Shabbos you're not supposed to do tircha yisera. You're not allowed to do any extra work. But if you need to, if you have to clear a space away to have a shir or for davening, so then you're allowed to even remove four or five boxes. So the Gemara says, what is the size of these boxes? Rav Zeira, Shaul is from Yosha. Rav Zeira asks of Yosha, Kama he shur and shal kupos. What are the size of these boxes that we're referring to that we say we can even clear away four or five of these boxes? So Amalei, so Rav Yosha tells Rav Zeira, we turn to Ches Omud Beis, and he says that Nilmot Sosom Min HaMafurish. We can learn something that is not specified. The Gemara in Shabbos doesn't specify how big these boxes are from Mefurish, from our Mishnah over here in Shkalim, where it specifies how big these boxes are. Because, now the Gersa we have is Tani, but we'll leave that in parentheses because it's repeated by when it says Detanya. So Detanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Bisholosh Kupos, Shosholosh Sholosh Siyin. This is really paralleling our Mishnah, but it's going to add a little bit of additional detail to it. That's why we quote the Braisa rather than our Mishnah. Because it says that there are the three Kupos, the three boxes, each of them of a size of three son. So Shein Tisha son. So in each Truma Salishka, they did this three boxes with each three saws, so that's a total of nine. And as I mentioned, Shin Esim Veshevasin, they do this three times of the year, so three times nine is 27. Tarmin Salishka, so that's how much they would take out from the Lishka over the three times during the year. Now, it says, because of Aleim, Aleph Beis Gimel, we had the Girsa that Rabbi Shmuel said it's the alphabet the Gamma, but here in the Brice it just says that they were written on them Aleph Beis Gimel. And why? Because of Aleim, Aleph Beis Gimel, Lomim Mistapik, Min HaRishon, Kodim L'Shnia, Min HaShnia, Kodim L'Shlishis. That we go, as I mentioned before, this is where I got it from, that they didn't finish off taking out from Aleph before they started taking out from Beis, but they didn't finish off Beis before they started taking out from Gimel. Then they finished off Gimel, they went back to take out the remainder from Beis, and then they went back, if they finished off Beis, to take out the remainder from Aleph. So anyway, we see from here that there were 27 saw, each box being three saw, so we can assume that the Mishnah and Shabbos is also referring to the four or five boxes. It's talking about boxes that contain three saw. Similarly, Tamon Taminon, we have another Mishnah and Shabbos, which is also unclear how much it's referring to, and we can learn it from someplace else. So it says, Hamotzi Yayin, Kidei Mizigas Akos. The Mishnayis there in Shabbos are talking about what is the minimal amount of carrying something out from Rishus HaYochin to Rishus HaRabim that would make a person chayiv to bring a carbon chattis if he did this by accident, right? Even chatzis shir is also in a Torah. You're not allowed to carry anything, but you need to carry out a significant shir in order to be chayiv to bring a carbon chattis if you did this accidentally on Shabbos. And for each different type of item, the Gemara has its own separate shir that's considered a significant shir. So in regards to how much wine do you have to carry out accidentally on Shabbos to be chayiv a carbon chattis, so it says, in order to dilute a cup of wine. In other words, the amount of wine that you have to carry out is what would be considered enough for a cup. But it doesn't tell us how much is a cup. So we're going to darshan that out from Pesach. This is the halachas of the Dalikosis on Pesach, which we learned in Pesachim, and here we have again now in Shkolim. Rav Zeira, Sholos Rav Yosha, again, Rav Zeira asks Rav Yosha, Kama Shurin Shokos. This cup that we deal with in Shabbos, how much is it? It says, Kidei, Yayin, Kidei, Mizikas Kos. So what type of wine is that? What amount of wine is that? So Rav Yosha says to Rav Zeira, No Matzosim and Amforish. Again, doesn't mention anything in Shabbos, but it says here in Shkolim, it says, well, in Pesachim, the Tony Rav Chia, the Arba Kosos, the Dalikosis that we're going to have on Pesach, Shamru, that we talk about, Yeshnon Revius, Shoyayin Botauki. He said that all four of them together add up to a revius of Yayin Hoitauki. Now, this revius that we're talking about is the total of the four cups. Each cup has a quarter of that, a revius of this revius. And therefore, you see that the normal dilution is three parts water to one part wine. So, therefore, over here too, the amount of the raw wine, the undiluted, the concentrated wine, is a revius of a revius look. Amar Yosi bar Avi Mishum Rav Yochanan to Rav Yehuda. This is in accord with the opinion of Rav Yehuda. The Tani, because we're in another Braisa, mayim kidei gemia, that the amount of water that you carry out is enough for a swallow. And Ryuda Omer kidei loshuf benes akila, he says it's the amount of water that you would make some sort of an eye medication, some sort of a salve that you would put into the eye. That's the amount of water that you need. We delete the nusach acher, and we say the next thing is yayin kidei gemia. How much wine do you have to carry out? It's also one swallow's worth. And Rav Yehuda says omer kidei mezika sakos. Rav Yehuda says that it's the amount of wine that when you dilute it, you'd make a cup of wine that you'd have a revius of wine. So the amount of raw wine is a revius of the revius because it's a 3-to-1 ratio of water to wine. So clearly, we see that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we ask. Mazug Bekama, how much of the already diluted wine is considered a significant amount? So, Nishmiya Minadot, we can learn this from what we just said, because we brought down this price a minute ago, Mayim Kidei Gemiya, the Tanakama says that the amount of water that's considered significant is a swallow's worth, and Yud Omer Kidei Losha Ben Asakil, he said, no, it's the amount of water, it's a smaller amount that you make this salve for your eyes, and then we delete the Nusach Acher, that he says, Yayin Kidei Gemiya, the Tanakama holds that it's wine enough for a swallow, and Rav Yehuda Omer kidei mezika sakos, the amount of raw wine in order to be making it into a regular revius of wine with the 3 parts water added. So the 1 part of raw wine is significant. So therefore, hador amra mazu kidei mezika sakos. So if you're taking out the diluted wine, what's considered significant is to have the full revius over here, not a revius of the raw wine. But if you're taking out a diluted wine, what's considered significant is the revius, which is 3 parts water and 1 part wine. That's the full amount that you'd be chayiv for. If Rechman al-San, somebody carried that out on Shabbos, that would be a chiv of a chatos. Now the Gemara says, since we're talking about the Dalit Kosas on Pesach, what an appropriate subject for us. So those that are listening to this before Pesach are going to enjoy this. We're going to talk about some of the Dalit Kosos details and halachos. So the Gemara starts off and says, Kama Shiurin Shol Kos. That's the girsa that we have. The Vilna Gaon, Hagos Hagor, says Arba Kosos She'amru. So, in any event, what is the shirim for the Dalit Kosos? So, Rabbi Ovin Omar Te Tarton Urviya, that it's a certain size called the Te Tarton, which is a little bit less than Urviyas, and you have to add on a little bit more to that, and that makes the regular Urviyas of wine that we're dealing with. Maulish Zosan Bikrach Echot. What about, are you allowed to drink them all in one sitting? In other words, don't have the Haggadah in between, just drink your 4 cups of wine and be yotzi the Dalit Kosos. Is that acceptable? So in the Gemara Pesach, we said that it's not acceptable, but here we can have an opinion that says that that's acceptable. Midama Rabbi Mon, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Mon says in the name of Rabbi Yossi that if you say Halal and Shul, Halal, Im Shimon, Bevesa Knesses, if you say the Halal and Shul, many have the custom that they do say a full Halal with a bracha on Leil Seder, in Shul, and if you heard this in Shul, so this opinion from Rabbi Mon, Amar Rabbi Yossi says that you Yotze, and you don't have to go and say the Halal at your house, at the Seder. Now, therefore, you're going to go straight from the third coast to the fourth coast, because the fourth coast, you say Allah, we say Halal Allah, fourth coast. And therefore, if you already said Halal, so you're going to go straight from drinking the third coast and then drink the fourth coast. So therefore, you see, Hadda Omra, Im Shason, Bekerech Echad, Yotze. If you drink them all at once, you Yotze. That's not the Halacha L'maisa. Then we have Mao Lishisoson Bepiskon. What about if you want to drink them very, very slowly? You're going to drink them sip by sip by sip. You're not going to drink them all as a Dalit Kosos, each Kos being drunk all at one time. So if you drink this Piskon, Loshun Hefsik, the Tiklan Chadatin says. So is that good? So Gemara says, and here we'll read the gears again of the Gra, Klum Ozbeis, Klum Omru Eloshiyishte, Lo Shiyishtaker. The whole purpose of these cups is to drink them, not to get drunk, and therefore, im shoso bepiskun, if you drink them a little bit at a time, afuwein mishtaki, you're not going to get drunk from it, and therefore, you can be yotzi in that way. Lamaisa we paskin that you should drink each kos within a certain shear of time that it normally would take you to drink a revius. You shouldn't drink it so slowly, but you should drink it in enough period of time that you normally would drink a revius. Again, it's a relatively short period of time. You shouldn't sip slowly the Dalit Kosos. You should drink the kos in 1 or 2 swallows if you can. Then the Gemara says, Ma'ulot says, B'yayin shel shviyas, can you use wine that was from grapes that are from the Shemitah year? So is that acceptable or not? So Tana Rav Hoshaya, Rav Hoshaya says, yes, Yotzim B'yayin shel shviyas. He says, yes, that's not a problem. Similarly, Ma'ulot says, B'konditin, We had konditin earlier. This is like a flavored spice type of a wine. So are you allowed to have the dalikosis with this type of a wine, the konditin? Shmuel says, yeah, midetani bar kapara, konditin kiyayin. Bar kapara said that this type of a flavored wine is considered like wine in regards to other dinim, so to avia, hada'amra, yotzim b'yein konditin. So too, it's good for the dalikosis as well to fulfill your obligation, midrabanan, that you have to have the dalikosos on Pesach night. Finally, Ma'ulot says, "Beyayin mezugin can use diluted wine, or maybe you have to use raw wine." So Gemara says, "No, midatani Rabbi Chiya, since Rabbi Chiya taught us arba koso shamu, that which the Chazal said that there's a mitzvah the rabbanon to have the dalik kosos, yosem ben chayim ben mezugin says that the rabbi said if you want to have it raw, the concentrated wine you can. If you want to have it diluted, you can. Ubavad shiye ben tam umar yayin. The only rule is that it has to have the taste and the appearance of wine. So certainly the diluted wine fulfills this obligation." Amar of Yirmiah, likewise, he says, Mitzvah losis b'yayin odom. We ideally should use red wine, because red wine is the real wine, so to say. Shenemar, al teri yayin. A person shouldn't look at wine, ki is adam, because it's red and beautiful, ki tein bakos ein ovagomet. Then you're looking to have wine, that's not a good thing. So we see that the real wine, so to say, is red wine. Halach l'maisa, if a person has no preference for strongly for white wine over red wine, so then one ideally should use red wine at the Seder. There is an interesting minhag to specifically use white wine at the Seder, because of Nebuch, the blood libels. So if you're using red wine, the goyim would come in, Nebuch, Rechmon, and persecute us and kill us, torture us, because we're using their blood. And therefore, some Badafka have the custom to use a glass kos, so you can see that it's not red, and they use Badafka white wine to show and demonstrate to the Goyim that we're not drinking red wine, which Rechmanu Litzlan, with all the blood libels. But Lamaisa, that Baruch Hashem is not a concern for us today, so one should use red wine unless one has a real strong preference for white wine. Then the Gemara says, Tani, we learned in a braisa, mevusho kimisubo, that cooked wine, what we would say pasteurized wine, is the same as this metuva wine, this konditin wine, the flavor type of wine. Can you use this? Ma'ulot says, b'yayin mevusho. So on the Seder night, can you use pasteurized wine, right? People use yayin mevusho, especially if you have people that are not from around, so they would turn that wine into a problem. If a non-from person, and certainly if a guy handles the wine, so if it's not mevushal, then you have a problem of yayin esach. So can you use mevushal wine at the Seder? So Amar Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yonah says, yes, yotzim b'yayin mevushal, it's perfectly good. As we said, it's the same din as the flavored wines, and it's perfectly good. Lamaisa, we say you are allowed to use mevushal wine. You can use the pasteurized wine at the Seder. There is a hiddur that some suggest that you should use unpasteurized wine, because in the Beis HaMikdash, when they used wine that wasn't mevushal, because the mevushal wines are somewhat inferior, so you want to use the best. But again, if there's all a concern, and certainly if you like the mevushal wines, there's no problem using the mevushal wine at the Seder, l'chatchila. And this is Rav Yonah L'taymei. This goes in accord with what Rav Yonah said. Rav Yonah, Kad Havi Shosi Arba Kosi De Piskot, because he would drink the Dalek Kosos on Pesach, and Havi Chozik, the Girsa we have is Rei Shah, should be Rei Shei Ad Chaga. And he had a headache, because the Dalek Kosos was so strong, so he had a headache all the way up until Shavuos. So therefore, he preferred to use the Mavusha wine, which didn't give him such a bad headache. Similarly, Chamisei Chodo Matruniso Apoi Nihirin. A certain matronisa, that's usually used for a goyish woman of some stature, she saw that Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi, his face, apo nihirin, his face was shiny. And she said to him, Omra, Saba, Saba, you old man, chada mehani tlos milin isbach. It must be for one of these three reasons that you have such a ruddy complexion. And she said, either, oh, dishasui chamaat, you're either the drunkard, and that's why you're ruddy, oh, dumaladi beribisato, or you're a person that goes and lends money with ribis, because that's a very easy job, and therefore you're not broken by hard work. You just sit there and rack up the money because the interest comes by itself, and that's why you have such a ruddy appearance. Oh, the Magadal Chaziriat, or you raise pigs, and pigs also, it's a very easy job apparently, and therefore that's why you're so ruddy. So Amalos says to her, Chas Shalom, none of these apply to me. Tepach Rucha Dai Issa, you should be swollen, so to say. In other words, you're totally wrong. Why are you making up these accusations against me? Not even one of these three is true. The chada me elin tlos biloy lesbi. Not even one of these three do I have. So why do I have such a ruddy appearance? Ella ulpenei shchiach li, because I learned Torah, and the Torah gives me a ruddy appearance. Achik siv chochmas adam toyapon of the wisdom of Torah that lights up your face. Similarly, Rabbi Avol osi l'tveria. Rabbi Avol once went to Tveria. Chamune tamidoy the Rabbi Yochanan apoin horin. The Tamidim of Rabbi Yochanan saw that Rabbi Avol was very shiny in appearance. His face was shiny. So Amrun Talmidim, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Talmidim told Rabbi Yochanan, Ashkach Rabbi Avo Sima. It must be the Rabbi Abo found some sort of a Sima. Sima is like a treasure. So also the Rabbi Yochanan came to him and he asked him, "Nu, what treasure did you find?" I'm like, "Mayor Raisa Charetah Shemata." Now he knew he wasn't talking about a physical treasure. So he said, "Nu, what good vart? What new piece of Torah did you find that your face is so shiny?" So I'm like, "So Rabbi Avo told Rabbi Yochanan, Tosefta Atik. I found an old Tosefta that I didn't know previously, or I reminded myself of it, and that's why I'm so happy. My face is so shiny." And Rabbi Yochanan said about him, "Korolei Chochmas Adam Torah Ponev." When you learn new Torah, so then that makes your face shiny. Amar Rechanan, and Rechanan said, Lugo Doraisa, the Lug, that is the Lug Doraisa, now the Gersa that we have is Tamunasa, but it should be Tumnasa, Atika, is like the same size as the old shear known as the Tamnusa, the Muraisa de Tzipari, which they used to measure out the fish brine in Tzipari. Amar Yonah, Yonah said, V'chachmona lo, I remember that the Gersa we have is the Beis Shammai, it should be the base Rebbe Yanai have a mechilin bo devash, and they use this measure to go and measure out honey. Tani, we learned in a braisa chatzi shminis tivronis, this size of a half of a shear of this tivronis type of a shear. We turn to Tesamon Aleph Hayishana, that's the same size. Amar Yochanan hadein didonhu, he says this is the same size that we use today. It's not the old one only. So v'lo makor le'atikas, so why they call it the old one? Min begin to have a biyomi. It's still being used, so why do they call it the old one? So is the Amre the Havazera of Arabsa? Some say because it was the original one, got smaller, and then it came back to its original size. The Istamre, the Izira, below Izira, Kimad the Havas. Others say no, that it got smaller in size after it was made larger in size, but it didn't get smaller to the point that it originally was. And that's why there was a difference over here between this Yeshana and the one that they have now. With this, we conclude today's share. Again, I learned it today. Le'ilu Nishnas, my father, whose yahrzeit is today, Yosef Nissen ben Yecheskel, his holy neshama should have an aliyah from all learning. Thank you for listening.